Good morning. This is Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we're going to talk about an exciting event happening Friday, Veterans Day, November 11th. This week, it is Hometown Tourism Day. What is Hometown Tourism Day? We're going to find out about that and a lot more from my guest, who is Sally Freeman. Sally is with Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, where she is a ranger. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Donna.
I'm very happy you're here today.
Good to be here.
And we're going to talk about a lot of fun things, including things that are happening at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. But first, let's learn a little bit about Sally Freeman.
Okay.
For our listening audience, please tell us a bit about your background.
Okay. I grew up in Oregon in the Willamette Valley and have always enjoyed history and ended up in college doing an internship at North Cascades National Park through the Student Conservation Association. And I think that really implanted the interest in working for that agency, the National Park Service. And I ended up with a summer job at Fort Clatsop that has turned into a really great career.
You have been at Fort Clatsop how long then?
Oh, over 25 years.
Congratulations.
Yes.
And so you started out doing what, and now you are doing what? I mean, kind of what happened? What's the evolution of your career?
It's long and complicated, so I'll try to keep it short. But I started out as a summer ranger, so one of the folks helping at the front desk, collecting fees, welcoming visitors on some days, and other days being in costume at the fort, doing talks and demonstrations and you know, all the basic opening and closing and all that good stuff. And then came back a second season and helped with school groups in the spring and being the ranger at the fort, giving talks to fourth graders and eighth graders, rotating through activities, or being the ranger at the visitor center, getting them started on their scavenger hunt activities. And then after 6 years of doing that, the job became permanent part-time, and then 3 years later became permanent full-time. And now I still do a lot of those things, but a little less and a little more behind-the-scenes things, and I get to manage the volunteer program. I get to supervise the historic weapons program, and I get to coordinate some special events, including our monthly guest speaker series in their footsteps, and this newer annual event, Hometown Tourism Day.
Sally, how many folks actually work at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, Fort Clatsop, right now?
That's a hard question to answer because it depends on the time of the year. But in the off season, so like now, there's probably about a dozen people that are our permanent year-round folks, but still some other seasonals that live locally and maybe work a part-time or an as-needed schedule. But in the summertime, and if you counted all the folks who volunteer somewhat regularly, that number would probably be in the 70s, how many people are going to work within a given week at the park.
So are there volunteers needed on an ongoing basis?
Yeah. One of the things that's happened in the last few years as the park has grown, and we now have about 15 miles of trails in the park, is we have quite a few individuals who love using trails and love the park, and they've been able to combine those two interests by being trail patrol volunteers, and there'll be a uniformed presence on the trail, which is good to help everyone feel a little safer. And also, if a tree branch is down or a trail needs work or whatever, they're quick to let us know and give us good directions on how to get to it and how big a saw are you going to need to clear that. And also, a lot of them are good photographers, and so they've been getting great pictures of nature and all the seasonal changes going on and such. So that's always available year-round. If people can do it on their own schedules. It just needs to be when the park is open. Other work is available year-round, like visitor center operation help is often needed. We're actually right now recruiting for kind of front desk help at the visitor center for in the off season. We're pretty good. We've got folks scheduled March through September, but kind of our off season, we're kind of one position short right now in the volunteer world. And then sometimes there's special activities, like they've just finished an elk pelt. pellet survey, the polite way of saying elk droppings, and which is an ongoing survey. The park's been collecting information to get an idea of size and movement and activity and health of the elk herds that use various portions of the park. And so that was kind of a blitz of a week of hard work tromping up and down and through fallen timber and different things to certain plots to collect information on the elk droppings that are found there. So a huge variety of different kinds of activities.
There's always something going on at the park, really. Yes. And a lot of people don't realize that. Is it open 365 days a year?
It's scheduled to be open 364 days a year. We do get to take Christmas off.
Okay. So Christmas is the day that
we had. We had a storm closure day, October 15th, too.
Okay.
But typically just open every day but Christmas.
And a lot of people, speaking about something in your, because they are obviously participating in Hometown Tourism Day, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But let's just have a little update on what is happening at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, mm-hmm. because the superintendent, Scott Tucker, who was here for a while, has mm-hmm. departed. When did he leave?
Oh, gosh. It all becomes a blur.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it was late spring, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you all had to you did a search for a new superintendent.
Yes, we've had an interim superintendent who came up from Golden Gate and has done a wonderful job, but I think wanted to go back home afterwards. And now our chief of resource management, Chris Clatterbuck, is filling in for the remaining time. But the selection has been made, and so in early January, our new superintendent, Jonathan Burpee, will be arriving on the scene. And we're excited because he's actually from the Northwest, and he's been wanting to get back to the Northwest. He's actually been we're one of the parks he's been wishing he could get a position at, and now he'll get to come in as superintendent. So,
where is he working right now?
He's at Tule Springs. Can't remember the exact designation, but it's a newer national park site in the Las Vegas area, and kind of a fossil park, which is just getting established. So I don't think they're at the point yet where they have a lot of visitor activities or a visitor center or anything. So he's kind of getting them up and going.
Well, we will look forward to interviewing him and having him on the radio program after he gets here in January. Lewis and Clark National Historical Park also has a wonderful bookstore.
Yes.
Your visitor center is just terrific.
Yes, I agree. Yes, the bookstore is, I often tell tour groups, it's the second most interesting place in the park, with the Fort Replica being the first. And you definitely, if you come by the park, you have to at least pop in and see if there's something new. And they're getting new things in now. They get hit pretty hard in the summer season with lots of shopping, and now they're resupplying and getting ready even for like holiday shopping and such. So.
Yes, I mean, I think we can shop so well locally here. There are so many options, and the park is a great place for people. You also have, again, we talked about these ongoing programs. You have some Christmas break programs coming up.
Yes, the 6 or 7 days after Christmas, we close on Christmas Day, and then the 26th through the 1st, we're planning to have a full range of programs, kind of like we do in the summer, with talks and demonstrations and ranger-led walks. And our junior ranger program's available all the time, but we'll probably have one staff person on some of those days just kind of dedicated to helping families start and finish a junior ranger program. And yeah, it's really nice. It's a little colder that time of year, but it's the time of year the expedition was here. And so it actually helps us picture more what their winter was like if we have to walk in the rain as we go from the visitor center to the fort. And crowds are smaller, so a lot of the ranger talks are actually maybe in the captain's quarters or inside one of the rooms of the fort. So it's a different traffic flow, and it's a real comfortable. A lot of times people will actually, sit on the furniture at the fort and just, sit down and have a discussion with the ranger, and kind of a fun conversations can happen that way.
So over Christmas break, a lot of folks here have family members coming mm-hmm. and children out of school. And so what a great living history program it is to take them out to the park.
Yes.
And let them experience some of these things. I know you have ongoing lecture programs. So if people want to find out more about what's happening at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, how can they do that?
You can always call us. But the two online ways that we work on keeping up to date, the webpage for the park, which is www.nps, like National Park Service, .gov, short for government, / LEWI, the first four letters of Lewis. So nps.gov/LEWI. And sometimes we get behind on events there, but we have a new ranger who's going to help us get caught up on those. And then the other place, if you're on Facebook, find the park's Facebook page. Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. And you'll see the one with the National Park Service Arrowhead logo on the side. And that, we do a pretty good job of keeping our events up to date on there.
What is your favorite? You've been there 25 years now. What is your favorite part of the park or of your work?
Wow. It varies off and on. I probably have lots of favorites, but what came into mind when you said that is my coworkers. We have a really good team of rangers and volunteers and bookstore staff in the park right now, and it's just a joy to go to work, and everybody's interested in making sure the visitor has a good visit and gets as much out of it as possible, and so it's just a nice team to work with.
That makes all the difference, truly. Yes. Your interaction. I mean, relationships. It's about relationships, and you get to work in that beautiful place, which
yes.
You know that's. And every day you feel like you're part of something that's bigger than. I mean, most people don't get to work in a national park, so
right, yeah.
that's a pretty wonderful experience. So you're happy with your choice. You made a good choice.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, not everybody has folks that. It works in a job that fairly regularly people come up to you and will ask you about your job. You know, I'd love to have your job. How did you get your job? Aren't you glad you have your job? You seem to love your job. And those mm-hmm. are things that we hear regularly. And it's very true, but I'm glad that people say that. As every once in a while, I'll just, you know, be walking from the fort to the visitor center or vice versa or on a different trail and kind of just stop and think about it and go, wow, I am just so blessed to be here.
And I know that rangers can change. If a child has an experience with a park ranger, they make a connection. I mean, it's because it is about storytelling. You're mm-hmm. telling the history, which is history stories.
Yeah.
That can send them in a whole different direction. And now with are wanting our young people and all of us who are inside too much to be outside.
Yes.
What an incredible opportunity to have Lewis and Clark National Historical Park with 15 miles of trails right here.
Yes. Yeah, it's great. And we have our education program can connect with every age of kids through, you know, we have specific programs, preschool, into high school, and then of course we have Road Scholar, Elder Hostel kinds of folks that visit as well. So lots of opportunities and lots of varieties for folks to be able to connect to their national parks. And some of this is National Park Service Centennial related, and a lot of it's going to be kind of a legacy from the Centennial, and that all these programs are in place to continue.
Is there anything that you feel like folks maybe in this area don't realize about Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, something that maybe is overlooked or just not recognized maybe?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, nothing's popping into mind right now, but it's probably because there's lots of things.
Because it has, again, these ongoing programs even in the winter, which is...
Right,
which is,
yeah. Yeah, I guess that's part of it. And I think some people don't realize there's so many attractions in this area and which agency runs which one, and to realize, oh, that's the one the National Park Service runs. And they kind of think that all the park rangers in the community all work for the same agencies, and they don't realize that there are subtle differences between, and not so subtle differences, between maybe national parks and state parks and county parks and city parks. But they're all parks, and they're all good to get people out and to enjoy them.
Yes, although, you know, I just read something, though, that Travel Oregon has done an excellent job of bringing tourists to Oregon, mm-hmm. to the point where some of the parks are saying, whoa, we're just too full. Hold on. Can we need to space this out. And they're looking at really trying to bring people here in the off-season, such as it is, and I'm not sure we have such an off-season right now, but let's say the fall and the spring and the winter. What is the impact of more tourism on Lewis and Clark National Historical Park? Is it all right? You doing okay?
Yeah, that's a good point. We sometimes, you know, our parking lots will be full, the main visitor center parking lots, we did an event last spring that we ended up impacting the traffic on Fort Clatsop Road because we hadn't planned ahead for how popular the event was going to be. And so, yeah, it is, you know, some people, our previous superintendent would often say, yeah, we want everybody to visit, just not all at the same time. And most of the time we're not at capacity, and most of the time we can serve more visitors well, but there are occasional times that it is at capacity. And now that the park's bigger, folks can spread themselves out better. I'm impressed with how many people will pull into Nuttall Landing during the day and get out and walk a trail for a little bit. And I think for some people that's part of their regular routine now, and that's, sites that didn't exist years ago. And so some of our visitation is there. It'll be interesting to see what our final visitation numbers are this year. We are on track to possibly break a record from January till the end of October. I believe our official count is we've had 260,000 visitors. If we break 280, then that is an all-time record for the park. Of course, the park is bigger than it used to be.
Wow.
More places for people to go.
Yes, and more locals using it. That's what we want to talk about in the next half of the program, which is Hometown Tourism Day this Friday, Veterans Day, November 11th. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. My guest is Sally Freeman. She is a ranger at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. And Hometown Tourism Day, this is something you brought to our area. How did you get the idea, and what is it?
Okay, so the idea came when I was a graduate student at the University of Victoria in Victoria, BC. And one day I got back to where I was staying, and pretty soon my roommate came in, and she was all excited, and she said, "Have you purchased your ticket for Be a Tourist in Your Own Hometown?" And I had not been listening to local radio. I had no idea what she was talking about. She was so enthusiastic about it, I had to find out. And their event has now grown much bigger. I was looking online, and I think it's a several-day program now. But it was, I got my ticket, and I went to a lot of the local attractions I wouldn't have bothered to otherwise, or found the time to or, as a poor college student, had the money to enjoy, and found out that Victoria does this event each spring to encourage their year-round residents to know what's going on and what's available in their attractions, and also to give maybe new staff at the attractions an opportunity to give talks and programs and such to a forgiving crowd before they get busy with summer crowds. And years later, when I was working here and realized Clatsop and Pacific County have so many interesting attractions. If you like nature, if you like history, if you like art, so many things packed so close together. And every community has something, but I've lived in communities that don't have this many things. You have guests come from out of town and you're like, let's go, well, we can go buy groceries. What can we do? And here, if you have guests come from out of town, you're like, oh, there's just this whole long list of things to do. But we don't have to wait until we have guests from out of town. There's things we drive by regularly, or, we always think, oh, I wonder what's down that road, or I've heard of that museum. I should go there someday. And so a few years ago, we decided to try to encourage sort of our version of what Victoria does with a one-day event where a lot of attractions could work together, and some of them can offer free admission, some can offer a special exhibit or a discount. Some, I think, are offering a coffee or cookies or something, and an opportunity to encourage people to look at the whole list of activities that's available, pick out one or two or three things that you haven't done or you haven't done in a while or that catch your interest, and try to do them on. We're experimenting this year with November 11th, Veterans Day. That's a day that some of the attractions were able to offer free admission anyway, and so that was a good kind of foundation for building the list of attractions. Now, we don't expect anyone to try to do all of them in one day. I was looking at it trying to decide if you actually try doing that, could you? And I don't think it's possible. I think we have, is there 14 different
17.
Things?
17.
Thank you. 17 different
them.
Things on the list here. And so don't think you have to do that, but maybe just try a few.
This is an incredible idea, because I know that when I've talked with Mac Burns, who's the executive director of Clatsop County Historical Society, he has said that he has eavesdropped on conversations when he's been out, and if, you know, locals might have a family member or something and they're trying to explain a little bit about the history. And Max says, oh, no, John Jacob Astor didn't live here. You know, he doesn't, he says that silently. He doesn't interrupt their conversation.
John Jacob Astor didn't live here?
John Jacob Astor didn't live here. And he said, oh, I wish our local people would be, go to the museums, we go to the attractions, because then you have a sense of incredible pride and knowledge, and then you are an ambassador for this area, you know. So the idea of being a tourist in your own hometown and here this Friday coming up is not only wonderful because it's fun for people to do and for families, but again, it adds to their wisdom and knowledge about the very place that they've chosen to live.
Yes.
So let's talk about who are the participating attractions.
Okay, so we listed them sort of north to south, as if you were trying to drive from one to the other, although, as I mentioned, you don't have to do that.
Okay.
So we have some in Pacific County, and sort of roughly north to south, the Northwest Carriage Museum in Raymond is knocking $1 off their admission and giving a 10% gift shop discount. And they're in Raymond, open from 10 to 4 on Friday. Not far from them is the Pacific County Historical Society Museum and Visitor Center. That's right on 101 in South Bend, Washington. They're open that afternoon from 12 to 3 and offering free admission. Then over on the Long Beach Peninsula, right in Long Beach, well, it's a Long Beach address, is the Cranberry Museum. And they are offering free admission, and they're open 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Friday the 11th. The World Kite Museum, also in Long Beach, Washington, is open 11 to 5 and offering free admission. And the Long Beach Peninsula Visitor Bureau, I was really excited to jump on board this year. They're technically a Sea View address. They're right on that intersection between where Highway 101 and Highway 103 come together. And if anyone comes in on Friday and mentions Hometown Tourism Day, they're going to give you a free canvas bag filled with information about local sites, which is wonderful because that's kind of our goal, is to let us know more about things we can see and do in this area. Also in Washington, Cape Disappointment State Park, on the very corner of Washington, is offering free park admission. The Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center there still has the $5 admission, but you won't need to have your Discover Pass for that day to get into the park, so that saves $10 per car. Let's see. Oh, also in Ilwaco, right downtown, is the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. They're offering free admission, and they have a special exhibit right now called Tabletop Tourism, and it's a collection of vintage tablecloths that was featured recently in the paper. It sounds really interesting, kind of like people collect placemats or postcards or whatever. There used to be a lot of tablecloths that were out there if you were traveling somewhere. So this fits really well with our whole kind of tourism theme. The Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco is open 10 to 4 that day. And then Fort Columbia State Park, with a Chinook address right near, over the tunnel, I guess, is offering free admissions to the grounds, and they have some beautiful trails over there. They're open dawn to dusk, and so you don't need your Discover Pass on this day. And then the other Washington site, the other Pacific County site that's participating, is the Napton Cove Heritage Center. That's the site with that historic quarantine station about 3 miles east of the Astoria Bridge, right on Highway 401. And they're generally only open Saturday afternoons, but they're going to be open this Friday afternoon with free admission from 1 to 4. And then that brings us to the Oregon sites. And so kind of starting from Astoria and working our way sort of south, the Hanthorne Cannery Museum at Pier 39 is open 9 to 6 every day, and they don't charge admission anyway, but this is just a reminder that you can always just walk through their exhibits at whatever pace you like. I had some family visiting in June, I think it was, and we ended up going through there and sitting down and watching a couple of the videos, and I hadn't had a chance to really do that before.
It's a great little museum.
Yeah, there's a lot more of it that I still need to get to. The Riverfront Trolley is going to be running from noon to 6, and you can board at any of the trolley stops for free on Hometown Tourism Day. The Columbia River Maritime Museum, if you go into their gift shop area and mention Hometown Tourism Day, then they're inviting you to get a free copy of one of their magazines. They call it the Quarter Deck. And so I believe you could get a free back issue, which might have a specific article you might be interested in. The top of Astoria, the Astoria Column, which, by the way, this year is celebrating its 90th anniversary. So the Park Service has been celebrating its centennial. The Column's been celebrating its 90th anniversary. And they're offering free parking during their regular hours of 9 to 5. And the park I work at, Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, Fort Clatsop, just south of Astoria, is offering free admission. And we're going to have ranger programs, kind of like a summer schedule, from 9 to 5. Fort Stephens State Park in Warrenton still has their regular, I think, $5 car admission, but they're offering a wild mushroom hike. And those hikes with Dane have been very popular. And they're meeting for that at Battery Russell at 1 o'clock. And then the South County has two sites, Seaside's Museum, the Seaside Museum and Historical Society on Nakanicum Drive. They are open 10 to 3, and they're offering free admission for Hometown Tourism Day. And then the Cannon Beach History Center, just south of the downtown in Cannon Beach, is offering free admission, and I believe they're serving coffee and cookies, and they're open 11 to 5.
That is so exciting. What a great opportunity to look at this list, and you can look at it online. Where I found it, I Googled Hometown Tourism Day Astoria, and then I got this list.
Perfect.
Which came up on the internet. We just have a few minutes left. What else would you like the listening audience to know? And first of all, congratulations. Thank you for being the one to bring Hometown Tourism Day to this area. And I think this was an idea that you had from Victoria from about 4 years ago or so. And it's just a wonderful opportunity for people to go and learn and be part of what makes this area so special.
Excellent. And you know, let us know as a participant or as an attraction. Give us feedback. We're still kind of trying to figure out what date is going to be the best. And if Veterans Day works and we can try this as an annual event every Veterans Day, that might work really well for the attractions. But if you enjoy Hometown Tourism Day, or if you have critiques of it or ideas for improvement, please let me know. And it's been kind of a fun experiment over the years to try to figure out how to have this fit as many people's schedules and interests as possible.
And again, because the summer is so busy, this is a great opportunity for a local to go when it's not so crowded.
Yes.
And you have these special things happening, whether it's the Wild Mushroom Hike or the ranger programs at the Lewis and Clark. So, Sally, thank you so much for everything that you do and you have done in your career, and for creating Hometown Tourism Day for Pacific County and Clatsop County, which is again happening this Friday, Veterans Day, November 11th. You can Google it and find out a list of all the participating attractions and museums, and just a great opportunity. Thank you.
Great. And thank you for helping spread the word, because we don't want people to go, oh, I missed it. We want people to you know, jump in and do something if they're out of school or free from work. And some of these are morning or evening activities. So try to squeeze one in.
Perfect thing to do this Friday. Thank you so much, Sally. I want to thank Kate Brister. She's been the engineer today. And also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It helps everything. And then focus on the things which are working well in your life. There will always be those things that aren't, but focus on those things with gratitude for the good things, and focus on you feeling good for accepting and loving yourself as you are, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, and for doing the best you can. Everyone's doing really the best they can. If they knew how to do better, they would. So give yourself that trust that you're doing the best you can, and appreciate the now moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.